Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless. It's good to see you. Some of you I saw last night. And some of you I couldn't see last night. Actually, most people I couldn't see last night because I have glasses on and I was wearing a mask because I have and that fogs up your glasses in the cold, so I couldn't see anything. But it is good to see you. And I do want to say something. This is unrelated to anything, but there is a principle. If you see something, say something, right? If you see something wrong, say something about it. And that applies to a lot of like serious things, and we need to be able to speak up for injustice, and I believe that we should. But I was looking at this Lord's Prayer that I wrote, and I'm like, that is all wrong. And it's been up for 3 weeks, guys, and nobody has said anything to me. And usually my eyes are closed whenever I'm like, you know, praying. But this week I was, there was some technical difficulties in the back, and so I was kind of working on that, and so I was moving instead of praying, stopping and praying. And so I was looking at the screen and I was like, there are things wrong here. And nobody has said anything to me. So if you see something, say something. We can fix it. All right. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for fellowship, for the gift of community. We are so grateful that you have entered into our lives and that we are able to come together to worship you. We ask that your word is revealed as we look at it. We ask that our lives are changed as we encounter you. In Christ's name, amen. Shortly after Jesus' death and resurrection, his followers were still trying to kind of figure out, like, who is this guy? I mean, they knew he was the Messiah and that, you know, he had all the authority of God, but they didn't quite know exactly what it meant. And so a lot of the early church was just kind of figuring out, like, so what does that mean that Jesus is God? Because they had an idea of who the Messiah was supposed to be, but Jesus proved to be a different Messiah. And so if Israel was still under Roman occupation, then they had to figure out, like, well, what did the Messiah actually do? And in some ways, that's the question we're still asking today. Who is Jesus and what does he mean? In a very real sense, discipleship is uncovering the answer to that question. Right, figuring that out. And that's actually what this Enchanted Faith series that we've been doing is all about. How does Jesus change our daily lives? Because we've talked about spiritual blindness and learning to see Jesus and God breathing new life on our dry bones and being born again and again in a process of continual renewal. And this morning, we're going to conclude this series with a look at some of the writings of the Apostle John and how he explained that everything is... John was a disciple of Jesus, you know, one of the 12. And he's often called, like, credited as being the youngest of the disciples. He was the youngest. And kind of from historical tradition, he's also the one, only one that wasn't martyred. The only one that didn't suffer a violent death. And along with Peter and his brother James, he was part of Jesus's like inner circle of three that Jesus kind of sometimes even went away from the 12 with just these three and did things. And out of those three, he's the one that's called the beloved or the disciple that Jesus loves. That's how scripture refers to him. So that just kind of gives you an insight. He has a really different insight on who Jesus is. He's the disciple that Jesus loved. the beloved. And actually, I really like that out of all the disciples, because some of the disciples, if you follow the historical tradition, they went off on and did like great things. John kind of stayed local. He isn't the one that went off and did big things. He's the one who kind of stayed more local. He did go up into Turkey a little bit, and he discipled Polycarp, who discipled Irenaeus. And so like, there's kind of a historical tradition of people who were discipled by John. But he's not one of the big guys that did like all these amazing things. But still, that's the guy Jesus loved. And that kind of gives hopes for the little guys, right? The little guys are the ones that Jesus beloved. I mean, Jesus loves everybody, but the little people, God has a special place in his heart. Anyways, that's John, and that's how he knows Jesus. So let's start with the beginning of his gospel, which is what we're going to be looking at. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is John the Baptist. This isn't the disciple John. He came to witness, to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came to witness the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John, do you see what he did there? He connects Jesus with creation. Jesus is part of the story from the beginning, from the very beginning. And his life has always been the light of all mankind. It's the hope of all mankind. It's the peace of all mankind. It's the joy of all mankind. It's the love of all mankind. And John makes a strong claim about that light, that it shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And it's a bold claim, because I think how often it seems like the darkness overcomes light. When things seem hopeless and broken, when life seems ugly and cheap, like it's going nowhere, there's still a light that shines the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that's what John writes in his gospel. The darkness has not overcome the light. Not that the dark doesn't exist. The dark's there. But the light has overcome it. The light is overcoming it. Furthermore, in verse 9, John writes that the light has entered into the world to bring that light, to bring itself to each and every person. Now, not everyone's going to recognize the light, but the light is there for all. And we can participate and live in it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We live with the light. And that changes everything. Because the light, it exposes the world, right? It reveals things that are hidden. If anything, that's what these last, like, 2 years, I feel like. Maybe longer. Maybe last 4 years. Maybe last 6 years. But things that have been kind of hidden have been shown. Right? There's been, the past 2 years have been filled with political turmoil, right? With COVID-19 and everything's political now, right? Everything is political. It's been a time of economic upheaval. It's been a time of racial unrest. It's been a time of homeless crisis. It's been a time of battles over education and what's being taught and how things are being taught. It's been a time of sex scandals. It's been a time of church scandals. It's been a time of Me Too and all other sorts of ugly, ugly things. In some ways, when you turn on the lights, you don't like what you see. You don't like the things that get shown. Sometimes whenever you turn on the light and you just woke up and you're like, ooh, who is that in the mirror? How did they get so haggard and old? Where'd all that gray come from? Is that a new wrinkle? Where'd that come from? But our pain and our grief over seeing such ugly things is its own testimony of a hunger for something deeper and better and true. It's a testimony of our desire for light to enter into our lives, of things being remade. And if the light, if it forces us to face the ugliness in our lives and in our world, it also reveals the Lord's beauty. It reveals how creation sings praises to the Creator. From the mountains to the neighbors in your seat next to you. It reveals how love can surpass all understanding. It reveals how repentance does not mean accepting shame and accepting blame. It means being set free from it. Because everywhere that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and humility and self-control are demonstrated throughout the world, that's the power of the Holy Spirit breaking into this world and declaring that the kingdom of heaven is here. That's actually what the incarnation, right? Jesus is coming into the world. It's about, bringing heaven to earth. God coming down and becoming God with us. Just like the resurrections, about bringing earth to heaven. So all creation, every bit of who we are, every bit of what we see, from the majestic mountains to the icy streams to the smile on a baby's face, it declares the glory of the Lord as well. And so, this last message is actually entitled Enchanted Everything. Enchanted Everything, because all of creation, every bit and nook and cranny, has been meant to be a cathedral to God, right? A cathedral to God, a place of worship where everything declares His glory and love. Enchanted Everything, because hope has come into the world. And hope's name is Jesus, right? Because the Prince of Peace has come to claim His throne, and that Prince's name is Jesus. Enchanted Everything, because creation rejoices, because it's set free from its sin, right? Its bondage of sin and decay through the power of Jesus. Enchanted Everything, because when all of our understanding and knowledge fails, and it will, there's still a love that stands. And that love's name is Jesus. And that's what a new life in Christ offers, an enchanted life, an enchanted world, where everything can point to the sacred nature of who God is and how He intended life to be, where every good and perfect thing leads us deeper into worship of God, where even every terrible tragedy, which Satan meant to steal, kill, and destroy, becomes transformed into a testimony of Christ's unwavering healing presence in our lives. And that's what's offered. Everything, every moment, every place becomes an opportunity for holiness, sacredness, and enchantment. I want to read one last quote from Richard Beck's book, Hunting for Magic Eels, which kind of inspired the series. When you pay attention, what you come to realize is that every inch of your life and every moment of your day is a hotly contested territory. There is no neutral ground. We're always standing at moral and spiritual crossroads. You're dealing with a fragile marriage, a troubled child, a nasty boss, an irritating coworker, an unfulfilling job, a triggering event, a lost election, a social media feed, a traumatic past, a growing addiction, a brutal work commute, a failed dream, a stack of bills, a life regret, a closet of shame, a mental illness, a lack of friends, a social snub, a forgiveness that hasn't been extended, a cancer diagnosis, a sin that hasn't been confessed, a pain that hasn't been healed, a grace that hasn't been accepted, a grudge that continues to be nurtured. Every moment, every time, every space, every heartbreak is an opportunity for the grace of God to enter into our lives. Every moment's a choice to walk closer and deeper into the kingdom of heaven, or to move further away. People, we're in the midst of Advent, right? The time of waiting for Jesus. And that Jesus is the Jesus who declares that he would not be God without us. When the Creator decides to be born inside of his creation, right? That's when the true light comes into the world and love took on human form. And that's the big question of the season, is will you live in it? Will we live in it? Every service during this series, we've taken 3 minutes, a 3-minute quiet time, which is always weird, especially whenever we get together, because we have so much quiet time in our lives. But too often we don't make use of it. And so we've carved out some time throughout our service to ask ourselves these questions. Where have I felt joy? What's troubled me? What's challenged me? Where can I feel God's presence in the midst of this? We're going to do that for one last time. And I hope that this is a practice that you can carry around. Because part of just living an enchanted life, a life where God is a part of everything, is giving yourself space to recognize it. We just don't give ourselves time to recognize God because, quite frankly, this is speaking for me, sometimes it feels like God is too much to deal with. God, I can't deal with you right now. You're too big. You're too much. But that's not the way we're meant to live. We're not meant to live without God. And God's always breaking through. So, for one last time, I'm setting my timer for 3 minutes. And we'll have a 3-minute quiet time. And then I want to close by reading verses 9 through 13 again. So I just wanted to say one last thing. If this quiet time is uncomfortable for you, and having that quiet time in your life is uncomfortable for you, I was actually just listening to something yesterday, and it's kind of about spiritual practices. Some of the Desert Fathers, which is like the early church, holy people, they said, you know, one of them was discipling somebody, and they're complaining. They're like, every time I have a quiet time and I'm quiet, God always brings up all this ugly stuff, and I'm dealing with lust and sin and all these things, and so I don't like to do it. And he's like, why do you think God's given you this time to make quiet? Because every other time you can force it away and not have to deal with the sin in your life and not let God touch it. But whenever you have that quiet time, sometimes you're just forced to deal with it. So that's my encouragement with you. If you're finding it hard, maybe it's because God wants to do something through that. All right. Sorry, that was not part of my sermon. It just popped in my head that I should tell you if I'm going to say, hey, keep doing this. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I pray this Christmas season, this Advent season, this upcoming year, you may remember that. Let's prepare our hearts for communion.